and reading one verse, number 33. Matthew chapter number 6, and reading verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. May God add his blessings now to the reading of his word. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Thank you again, Father, for this opportunity you have given me to stand here in the name of your Son, Jesus, and to break the bread of life for this so great a congregation of people. Lord, I ask that you will anoint me with fresh oil. Anoint me to speak for you to this audience of people, not just talk about you. I pray that you will prepare each heart just now to receive your word. That as this word goes forth, you will heal the sick. You will deliver those that are bound, and that you will set the captive free. Anoint us all for service, and again I ask, your will be done in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want to title my sermon this evening, The Relation of Righteousness to Faith. The Relation of Righteousness to Faith. Now, faith grows out of a continual fellowship with God. Righteousness is the ability to stand in God's presence without the sense of guilt or inferiority. It's what Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In the model prayer that Jesus taught, he began by saying, our Father, which art in heaven. So much of the time, we grab our little prayer list, like our little shopping list at Walmart, and we go running into our little prayer room, and Lord, I want this, and Lord, I want that, and Lord, I need this, and please help me here. But Jesus gave us a perfect example of how we must pray. We must begin our prayer with worship. Hallelujah. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That must be priority in our lives. You know, we find that so difficult sometimes just to lift our hands and give God the glory and worship him and for a few moments become intimate with God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and then thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When his kingdom becomes the preeminence in our lives, thy kingdom coming, thy will be done. When we have sanctified ourselves to his will, to his way, and to his word, then we can move into that realm. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. When we get our priorities in place, then I can tell you the blessings will come, the miracle will come, God will meet our needs. Amen. And so you see, it is the product of the finished work of Christ that culminates in a new creation. You see, when we know that God recreated us with his own nature, taking out everything that was unlovely, putting his own life and nature in its place, and when you realize that he is so satisfied with that new creation that he can make it his home, that he comes to dwell in us. For you, we can realize how precious and how utterly priceless we are to him. When I was born again, things were changed. I became a new creature, and old things passed away. And so you see, God came to dwell in this house. I want to tell you, he doesn't live in this church. I don't care how well you've got it decorated. I don't care how well you have it built. God doesn't live here. I can tell you that he lives in us. It lives in us. If you ever pray for church and there's a bad spirit, somebody brought it. I can promise you that. But oh, dear Lord, when we come together worship and one mind and one accord. We invite the presence of God Almighty to come. It's in an atmosphere like that that Jesus will show up, the healer will show up, the deliverer will show up, the provider will show up. It's in an atmosphere like that that he manifests his divine ability. Somebody shout amen. And so it is. If he had made sons and daughters with whom he could have no fellowship or terms of equality, then I can tell you there'd be no satisfaction in it. And the work he wrought in Christ would be an utter failure, if you will. If they were certain that man, the beginning, if you will, that had perfect fellowship with God, and that fellowship was broken because of disobedience, but a perfect redemption must restore that lost fellowship. It must be restored on legal grounds. Man must know that he has a perfect right in his Father's presence. He may lay the foundation to build a perfect love life, but out of this perfect love life will grow a faith life. You see, the hope for righteousness comes by faith wrought by love. According to Galatians 5 and 6, it was God's love that sent his Son to secure our righteousness, to die for us. When a person really sees this, it breaks him and he bows and he surrenders his own love, faith, and life and loyalty to Christ. The love of God serves us to love him, and we love him because he has loved us. What a place of perfection. What a place of security. What a place of peace. Oh, yes, sir. Perfect love. Perfect love. Cast it out, fear. Somebody say amen. Oh, yes, sir. When we love as we should, I can promise you, what a foundation. Faith and love are kindled, if you will. They're kindled to one another. Love gives birth to faith, and faith strengthens love. And so when one knows that God has recreated him and made him a new creation, that new creation is the nature of the Father imparted to him, then he knows that his normal place is in the Father's presence. It's not unusual. When Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches, that figure compels one to know that there is perfect fellowship since the branch and the vine are one. The branches have righteousness to the vine, for the vine has imparted its life and righteousness to the branch. And so this kind of faith is built into believers. If we're born again, and we've been changed, not just feeling religious, but being born again, we're changed. He lives in us, and we live in him. There is a kinship, and there is a connection. And in that, he gives us the strength and power to overcome Satan, to overcome sin, or any opposition that would come against us tonight. Hallelujah. And so, you see, we can continually affirm that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. And we say it over and over again until the reality of it becomes a part of our consciousness. You know, we become radical and passionate. And the problem with most people is that is missing in their relationship with God, and that is passion. So many other things in life takes preeminence and pushes God aside. If it's convenient, I will inform you. If it's convenient, I'll serve you. If it's convenient, I will worship you. But wait a minute. When your love has assured, I'm here to tell you, nothing and no one will deter you from that right relationship with God, from giving him the preeminence in your lives, if you will. Oh, yes, sir. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference what life may afford you, or what you may discover in life, or your goals or ambition. The the riches of what we are in Christ. And when he says that he becomes the righteousness of him that has faith in Jesus, and I can tell you, we know that God has become our righteousness, for we have faith in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. You say faith comes by acting on the Word of God. We act on the Word of God. We take Jesus as our Savior. We confess him as our Lord. And we receive eternal life at that very moment. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful thing that is. I love it when God gets through with somebody, or a person, if you will, transforms them. Everything that one time had preeminent and dominated their lives, all of a sudden has lost any kind of allurement or enticement, and now the only thing that matters is pleasing God. Hallelujah. The only thing that matters is worshiping him, living for him, if you will. We're in a church world that all they want is just a few little hours of entertainment and just to appease their little religiosity and go on their way and hope God accepts it. We're not in that kind of business. We're in this business of total commitment to God. Total commitment to God. Not halfway, no. Not halfway, but whole, complete. I've given him everything that I am and everything I ever hope to be. It all belongs to him. You see, the work was completed before Christ arose from the dead, and that work belongs to us now. You see, all we need to do is accept it, if you will. I said, all we need to do is accept it. And so, you see, as a believer, there's a need to ask God to heal. Come on. It's already there. You know, I used to quote the psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." Have you ever quoted that? One day I quoted that, and I said, wait a minute. So I turned over to the 103rd psalm, and I began with verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And then verse 2 is commonly quoted. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then I found out what his benefits were. You see, when we got to benefits, that's a colon. That doesn't mean there's an end there. There's something else. And we go here in verse 3, he said, "Who forgiveth all thy iniquity, and healed all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth the mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle." And I got to looking at all of these benefits, and we talk about forgiveness, we talk about healing, we talk about redemption, even crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy, and then he satisfies. Oh, great Lord, I search for him, and knew not what I long for. I long for him, and knew not what I long for, but I found Jesus, and knew that I would search no more. He fills that longing down in my soul. And you may try and achieve certain things in life. You may wear the medal of being first place. Your name may go down in history. They may record you in some kind of a book of honor. But I want to tell you, nothing in this world so satisfies as the peace of God, the grace of God, all the working of his Spirit in our lives. Oh, my. I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing in the world. Well, the relationship of righteousness to faith. Righteousness to faith. And so you see, the Bible talked about the fact that he laid our diseases on him, our sins on him. It pleased God. I'm telling you, when I look at all of this, if we were healed, we don't need to thank God for something that's already been given us. If somebody gives you a gift, and they said, "I'm giving this to you." Well, do you want to beg them? "Please give me your gift. Please give me your gift." Would you be ever handing it to me? Why would you beg him for something that he's already given you? Hallelujah. Just to believe it. to believe it and expect it. You see, all we need to do is just rebuke the enemy. He comes to destroy. He comes to destroy. We rebuke it. We have the power of Jesus' name. Oh, yes, sir. Don't belong to you. You don't belong to you. The devil just doesn't belong to you. I belong to God. Come on. I'm his child. Oh, listen to me. And my dad would flail the daylights out of me if I did something wrong. But I can tell you, watch it. Don't come around and try to take advantage of me. As long as Papa was there, you're in trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, that's the father for you. I said, that's the father for you. I'm telling you, and I'm saved and born again, and he is my father. He is the love of my life. I am his. We are kin. Somebody will say amen. We're kin. We belong to him. I'm here to tell you that God Almighty, his objective is you and I, and take care of his own. Somebody say amen. He takes care of his own. He says, we don't need to ask God to give us strength. Psalm 27:1 says, Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Jehovah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We know we're righteous. We don't have to try to act like we're righteous. I said, we know we're righteous. You see, we become the righteousness of God in him. We know God has become our righteousness. But we have faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. You see, we don't have to try to be righteous any more than man has to try to be a man. He may try to be a good man, but I can tell you, he is what nature has made him. We are what God has made us to be, his own righteousness. And so we have been made more than conquerors through him that loves us. So we put up a solid front. We conquer our adversary. It's not guesswork. I said it's not guesswork if you win. Oh, yes. Jesus would say, come out of him. The devil had to obey. He had to obey. Well, we say in the name of our master Jesus, come out of him. And he said, yes. Yes, amen. Yes, yes. Command them to go away where they belong. Don't ever come back. Don't ever harass. Don't ever injure. You see, we're taking Jesus' place. We're acting in his stead. His righteousness has been imparted to us. He gives us the ability to act in his stead and to take his place. Jesus said, hold first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, we're at that point. There's a new day in our experience. This is a new order in the realm of man. Satan reigned over the old earth. Sin consciousness dominated earth. We've come to know that the new creation is the righteousness of God in Christ. We know that this righteousness is not theological or philosophical, but it is actual righteousness. It's not guesswork. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's exactly what it is. The Bible said he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, what a place. What a place to do it. We know that this righteousness is of God. It is God changing our sin consciousness, the righteous consciousness, if you will. It's God doing a work, building his word in our spirit until we have become good life in our thinking, if you will. We're no longer timid. We're no longer faithful. We stand as sons of God could stand in the presence of the defeated enemy. The devil is defeated. He'll torment you. He'll come to you. He'll say you can't do it. You're never going to be able to live for God. But he is the liar and the father of it all. You know, if people could ever reach this point that Jesus is saying to us, seek. The end of seeking is more than just a casual glance. It's more than just a casual glance. Seeking is diligently faith churches. We're not leaving a stone unturned. We're not leaving a leaf unturned. We're searching diligently. We're looking until we find it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is inward and it is spiritual. Hallelujah. It is inward and it is spiritual. That's what we seek first. One of the Lord's praying to the top of his lungs. Oh God! I want a bicycle! Oh God, give me a bicycle, Lord! Let somebody buy me a bicycle, Lord! He prayed that for about 5 or 10 minutes. The woman got perturbed. She came in. She said, now, son, I don't mind your prayer, but you don't have to pray that loud. God is not hard to hear. He said, no, but grandma is, and she's in the next room. I want her to buy me a bicycle. Woo, come on. Hallelujah. You see, he said, oh, foolish virgins, having begun in the flesh now, are you made perfect through, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect through the flesh? You see, once you lose that, and you try to see the flesh perform the same thing, and it don't work. It don't work. Righteousness must have the preeminence in our life. It must have the preeminence in our life. And so, the Spirit says through Paul that God has made Jesus to be wisdom unto us. Why? If we know Jesus, we don't have to ask for wisdom. He is our wisdom. Somebody say amen. You see, when we say that Jesus was made unto us sanctification, we know we're sanctified by his sanctification. When he declares that he was made unto us redemption, then we are redeemed, and that he is our redemption. And consequently, our redemption is a reality. A man called me one night and asked me, he said, Brother Danny, do you think I'm saved? I said, no. Well, how do you know? I said, because you would know it. If I've got to tell you you've got it, there's a good sign you don't have it. I preached a revival at Branch Church of God in Silas, Alabama. One night I was preaching, and I said, if you got lost, you're going to hell. Now, somebody said that's to a person. I said, it's true. It's true. Whether it's my brother, my mother, or your dad, or your daughter, it doesn't matter. As I preached that night, it struck home to a little boy sitting in that crowd, and he went home crying. His mother went to tuck him in the bed. And Ricky is crying out of control. And his mother said, Ricky, what's the matter with you? He said, Mother, that preacher said tonight, if you die lost, you're going to hell. And he said, my daddy is not saved. And if he dies tonight, he's going to hell. I don't want him to. I want him to go to heaven with you alive. But if J.T. Sykes was a rascal with a capital R, he might have gone to church on Easter if he didn't have, it wasn't good Christian weather. He may have showed up at Christmas if it was convenient. But Ricky's mother went out and said to J.P., J.P., you need to go talk to Ricky. He walked in. He looked at Ricky. What's the matter with you? Somebody hit you? Somebody hurt you? Somebody said something? No, Daddy. Why are you crying? He said, because the preacher said tonight, if you die out of love, you're going to heaven. And Dad, you're not saved. And if you die tonight, that's where you're going. And I don't want you to die. J.P. Sykes was speechless. He stood there for a few seconds and finally said, I'll be at church tomorrow night with you, Mickey. Well, when J.P. Sykes walked in, you could almost hear the crowd go, ooh. They didn't know what would happen. That night, as I preached, I'll say this. I don't need to hear a word. I'll stand. I believe all he can hear was, "Dad, if you die alone, you're going to hell." I gave that altar invitation that night, and as I did, J.P. Sachs turned to his cousin Russell, and he said, "Russell, will you go with me? I can't go by myself. Will you go with me?" "Yes, I'll go, J.P. I'm telling you," he fell on the altar that night. "I mean, God, glory for sure to his soul." Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When J.P. got up from that altar, he was a changed human being. I'm telling you, the news spread. The next night, standing room only. They had to bring chairs out for people to sit by. They couldn't believe that J.P. Sachs had gotten saved. Hubert Gibson was my friend, and he told me. He said, if J.P. Sachs gets saved, then it'll be a modern-day miracle. Well, that night at the church, I went out to the pastor's house, and I called Hubert Gibson. He went to, "I never could figure out why they go to sleep when the chickens go to the rooster and get up and wait on daylight. I can't understand that." But that's the way some of them do. But yeah, I mean, he was asleep. He'd been there for a while. When he answered that phone, he said, I said, "A modern-day miracle took place tonight." He said, I could tell he was asleep when I called him. But he said to me later, he said, "When you said that, I sat straight up in my bed. Don't tell me that J.P. Sachs got saved." Yes, he got saved. Hallelujah. Yes, he got saved. Good Lord. I'm talking about the relation of righteousness to faith. It must work in our lives. It has to work in unison, if you will. He has to come, our righteousness. He has to come, our righteousness. Oh, and my righteousness is as nothing, but he is in me. I'll act like him. I'll think like him. I'll talk like him. I'll walk like him. Hey, he's in me. Hallelujah. By faith, I'll stand on his promise. I'll believe in his word. I'll shout his name to the high heavens. I'll declare him to be Lord and King of Kings. Hey, hallelujah. The living God. The living God with a name above every name. Yes, sir. Let the very mention of that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. I'm here to tell you, it's the righteousness of God in me. Hallelujah. Mike 12:22 said, "Have faith in God." One other said, "Have the faith of God." We must have both, hallelujah. I said, we must have both. Oh, my. You know, we have God's faith reproduced in us by his living word, by his nature that is imparted unto us. I don't care what you may achieve in life. You know, George Beverly Shea came to a point in his life that he had to make a decision. Shall I pursue a career where I will make above means, above average means, or will I pursue the will of God for my life? Let me tell you something tonight, young or older, young or older. The most important thing in life is the will of God. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you seek to achieve in your life. The most important thing is the will of God. It may seem so remote. It may seem to appear to be so simple, so unchallenging to the intellectual mind. But the simple faith in God Almighty will someday bring us in his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a simple faith. Oh my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To believe God. To accept his will. Oh my. I'm telling you, let that word reproduce itself. You know. I did everything in the world to please my dad. not only his faith, but his power. That's why that you order for food right on a day. Sometimes a faith. Sometimes other things would get in the way. If I had done what he told me to do, I couldn't wait till I saw that little old car coming down that lane. Because I knew that he's going to go fishing. Because Dad would see what I had done, and my reward would be, come on, son, let's go fishing. But oh, dear God, if I hadn't seen, if I hadn't done what I hadn't done what he told me to do, dear God, I'd rather see anybody coming down that lane with you. Because my dad was a disciplinarian. Oh, dear God. My dad never lied to me. My dad, he said, I'm going to whip you, and he didn't tell me three or four times. I've seen mothers look at their little child coming up. I'm going to knock your head off if you don't stop that. Well, they know you're lying. They know you go to prison for knocking their head off. They're going to keep doing it. My dad would look at me, sometimes just look. But if he ever said, I'm going to whip you, I tried everything, honey. I tried negotiating. I tried all kind of promises. I promised I'd wash the car every day. I'd shine your shoes every morning before you go to work, so you're just letting me go home. But I found out one thing. Anybody ever heard the term swing speed? Here, right here, there's not much speed. But here. When my dad was swinging that belt, he was the best dad. I don't know why, but I wasn't that bad, I didn't think. Don't say anything. But he worked that belt on me. And I found the further out there I went, the higher the velocity, and that swing speed, and it was a little rougher out on the end of that. So I learned one thing. Ooh, when he started flailing that belt, I wrapped myself around him. I'd run in, I'd wrap around his legs. Have you ever tried to whip a child in a man from your life? Turn me loose! Not till you quit flailing that belt. I'm not letting you go, buddy. I'm not negotiating nothing here. I'm hanging on. Oh, great Lord. Let me tell you what I found out about God. Oh, my. The further I got away from him, the worse it was. The further out there I was, the worse it was. I found out that I was around him. I'd wrap myself around him. Oh, great God of heaven. I plead with his mercy. Oh, my. Oh, listen to me. Those that he loves, he's chasing. Why? He wants to make you even better. Hallelujah. He wants to make you better. And when you yield to it, oh, the first, it doesn't seem to be joyous, but grievous. I promise you. My dad said it's hurting me more than it is you. I said, I got a simple solution. If you'll quit, it'll be better on both ends. Oh, I did. But it didn't work. But oh, my, whom he loves, he chastises. I said time and time again, oh, God, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Don't ever let that spirit of conviction move away from this fleshly man. Keep me there. I want to please. I want to hear you say, well done. But it's all over. Hallelujah. We have faith in God because it's the normal thing when a person is born again. It's a normal thing for that person to have faith, that child to have faith. In that it's a normal thing for the child of God to have faith in God. We have more faith in the ability of God to put us over, to heal, to give ability and strength to meet life problems than we have in the adversary to thwart the purpose of God in us. Amen. God didn't give you through your ability to prostitute to the will of the flesh and of the will of Satan. It's eternal things, I know. When I heard that our pastor made his way to this pulpit last night, that said we're going on a whole day, we're involving every ounce of energy and effort we can. Why? It's necessary that we draw nigh to God. It's necessary for revival. It's necessary that every young person in this house be centered. It's necessary that every mother, dad, grandma, grandpa. It's necessary that every person in this house draw near to God. And that's what it's all about. We're here to renew life. We're here to renew and restore. Revive. Hallelujah. Reform. That's what it's all about. And if we as believers can get ourselves in that right place and right position to fulfill the plan and the purpose of our lives in God, then we're going to see heaven manifested. The city will be shook for God. Our families will have revival. Our homes will have revival. Our churches will be aflame with the glory and the presence of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do it again. Okay, do it again. Do it again, Lord. I'm not satisfied with the mediocre. I'm not satisfied with an unturned cake. I'm not satisfied with being a failure. I want the fullness of God. I seek Him with my whole heart. He said, in the day you do so, I will be found in you. You see, God is bigger to us than anything else in the world. My wife and I, a few years ago, it's been a while now, but we went through a very difficult time. The only thing we had was each other. We would cling to each other. We would cry. We were hurt. How many of you have ever tried to explain your circumstances and your situation to God? I'm riding down the hill one day in my big red truck that I drove then. I'm informing God. I'm telling God for whom I'm doing. When I'm on the other side, that voice is going to cry. And God said to me, don't make me the size of your problem. I am bigger than that. I want to tell you, God Almighty got my attention that day. I did some awful, heavy repenting, I can tell you. And I did. Faith grows in the atmosphere. It can't grow, that is, in the atmosphere of condemnation. We must know that we are more than conquerors. If we are more than conquerors, there is not an adversary that can overcome us. Somebody shout amen. I said, there is not an adversary that can overcome us. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hallelujah. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. More than conquerors. You see, as long as we live in the realm of religion, I said, well, I'm not an unbeliever, yet we don't keep His commandment. We're saying one thing, doing something else. Believers will keep His commandment. Hallelujah. Believers will obey me. His word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, faith, like love, demands a continual confession. If I just told my wife one time in all of our almost 46 years that I loved her one time, the old Dutchman, his wife died. He stood with a casket. He was crying. Someone walked up to him and said, you loved her, didn't you? He said, yes. He said, I almost told her once I did. My wife loves Krispy Kreme donuts. Now, that's not a hint either. She likes glazed Krispy Kreme donuts with chocolate on top of them. So she sends me into the place to get them. So I walk in Dothan, Alabama, Ross Park Circle. I walk in. The lady behind the counter says, "Can I help you?" "Yes, ma'am. I want a dozen glazed donuts." "All right." I said, "I would like to have chocolate on the top of them. And if you don't mind, put a little extra chocolate on top of them." The lady had walked in behind me. She laughed. I said, "Oh, it's not for me." I said, "It's for my wife." They really laughed. I said, "Well, listen. If mom is happy, everybody's happy. And you women say amen." They just said, "That's a good policy to live by." At that time, I said, "Well, I've lived that for about 28 years, and it's worked so far." I said, "It's all right to be hen pecked, as long as you love the hen that's doing the pecking. But if you don't love the hen doing the pecking, you're one sick rooster, buddy. And I'm telling you, when it becomes a routine in our lives." I see them refer to each other as the old man and the old woman. Then something happened. I've seen people in their relationship with God develop the same kind of an attitude. Something happened. We lost that love. Hallelujah. One lady came up to me, a young lady. She had just been married, I think, about 5 or 6 years. To me, she said, "How long? How did you make that last so long?" I said, "Well, I never call her anything but a baby, and I love you. Honey pie, sugar plum, whatever else I could think of. It's sweet." And I said, "Ever since the day I married her, I never quit talking about you." Come on now. You know where I'm going now. Come on. The problem is so many stories. It's that poor man may love his God for a few moments. And then when the new wears off, it becomes a routine. We lose our sense. We lose of God and his glory. Hallelujah. And I will tell you, when we've been using that house, you see, when I reach that point that he and I are one, oh my, I'm closing. But when I reach that point, then the Jesus can do all things in him. He strengthens me. God's ability is in me. I have the life of God abiding in me, if you will. Oh, yes, sir. Whatsoever I ask in the Father's name, he gives it. God's strength and God's ability abide with me. I have his wisdom. I don't have to ask for wisdom because wisdom is mine. I don't have to pray for faith because his promises cannot be broken. The word from God is void of power. I have a standing invitation to come boldly into the throne room and sit in the presence of my Father. I am now a member of the divine household of God. In my God is my Father. I am his child. I'm in the family. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. I'm constantly conscious of the indwelling presence. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I have his love abiding in me. Transformations build faith, gives life, it strengthens the believer. You see, the affirmations of the Word, that's based on the Word. They're not just, it's not a confirmation of some idle human reasoning, but it's faith in who he is and what he is. Hallelujah.
My Lord.
Anything. kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things shall be added unto you. Father God, will you make God the priority?